Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, April 29th. It is time to look in the scripture again. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 7. We're still in the study of the Sermon on the Mount. We're dealing with the subject of prayer. We're talking about the character of prayer. And we began a message with that point number one in Thursday of last week. And I said there's 7 points. We dealt with 3 of those last week. And, well, actually, we dealt with 2 of those last week on Thursday and Friday. And then with the 3rd one on Monday. And then the 4th one on Tuesday. Then the 5th and the 6th one on yesterday. Today, we're going to pick back up. We're going to run over all those so you'll see what they are. But we're going to deal with number 6, which is coming to God appropriately. And we're also going to look at number 7, coming to God relatively. And there's an interesting twist on that phrase. And so I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky.
We'll turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 7. We're going to read our text this evening. I'm going to start reading verse 7. Read from chapter 7, verse 7 down through verse 11 for our text reading this evening. The Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you," or given you. "Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Last week I preached on Christ's counsel about prayer. That's what he's dealing with. He's dealt with all kinds of things. And I mentioned last week about the call to prayer. This morning we started talking about the character of prayer. I dealt with 3 things that are involved in the character of prayer. And tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want to deal with 4 others that we can see in the character of prayer. Our Lord not only tells us what to do, but he tells us how to do what we're supposed to do. And I appreciate that he does that. And so we started off this morning talking about that I believe the first base is we must pray humbly. And then we must pray earnestly. He said, "Seek, and ye shall find." And then the 3rd, we must pray believingly. Knock, even though the door is closed. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Now, I'd like to continue this train of thought. And as I said, point out 4 other things. Number 4, I believe not only we must pray humbly, earnestly, and believingly, but we must pray reverently. We approach him reverently. Amen. He is our loving Heavenly Father. Amen. But he yet is still God. And he will not be bossed by anyone. Then number 5, when we pray, we must pray persistently. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, and we've mentioned these in times past, other messages, that these words are in present tense. But they're in the present perfect tense, which means they happen now and they continue happening. It's as if our Lord said, "Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking." Amen. Number 6, I believe we must pray appropriately. Amen. I believe that we can expect our prayer to be heard and answered only when we ask or pray for those things which are good, not when we pray for those things that are evil. Amen. Those things that would be hurtful. We can expect for God to hear and answer our prayers when we ask for that which is needed rather than we ask for that which is not needed. Amen. Which is just extra. Amen. They're treating God like a 4-leaf clover. Right. Amen. They reach in their pocket, they pull out that 4-leaf clover, or they open their Bible or their favorite book and they got that. And by the way, listen, if you like 4-leaf clovers, that's all right. But if you think it's bringing you quote unquote luck, you're crazy. Amen. Or what about a lucky rabbit's foot? Brother Mays Jackson said it didn't help the rabbit none. He had 4 of them. Amen. But that's how they treat God. Amen. They treat God like he's a genie in a bottle. If they just rub that bottle enough, he'll get everything they want. God's not that. That's not the idea when he says, ask and it shall receive. Seek and it shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's not the idea that he's given. He's given us the principle here that when we ask, we've got to ask correctly, not to consume it upon our own lust. Amen. Can I say to you that all these characteristics are important? I'm at the last one. I'm going to give you the last one. I'll be done. I believe this last one's the most important one. And I say it this way, because I've used the L-Y or E-L-Y at the end of all these, earnestly, persistently, and correctly, we must pray relatively. One thing that I notice in verse number 9 and 10 and 11 is that the thing that connects the man that's answering the prayer to the person that's asking the prayer is that they are related. There is a relationship between them. The man that's giving is the father of the son that's asking. Amen. I believe it's so very important. Now here's, I noticed this, I read it, and I don't remember who, which commentator pointed out this part. When you read Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and it shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Who do you ask? It don't tell you who to ask. Right. Who do you seek? Whose door you knock? Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, him that knocketh it shall be opened. Who is he asking? Who's given to them that ask? Who's helping find that they're seeking for? Who opens the door to the one that's knocking? It does not tell us who. I believe Christ assumed we'd know who. Amen. And he's already pointed up before that when we pray, you start out, your prayer must start correctly. Our Father, which art in heaven. But here he comes to this illustration and he tells us this most important point is that you've got to know you're a son and he's the father. Therefore, you've got access to ask. Amen. Amen. He says it's a son that asks for bread. It's a son that asks for fish. Then he speaks of the generosity of the given aspect in verse number 11 of your father, which is in heaven. I like that phrase. Amen. Here it seems, I believe, emphatically to imply that you must be a son to expect to have any influence in prayer to the Father. Amen. I know the Pharisees said that we know that God heareth not sinners. That's what the Pharisees said. The Lord and I have heard men take that and use that as if it were entirely true. I also know that Cornelius prayed and gave alms, and when the angel appeared to him and told him to go get Peter, he said, God's heard your prayers. Right. Cornelius wasn't saved yet. Apparently he's a sinner, yet he's trying to find God. He's searching for God, and God sends him light. Amen. Right. Sends him a preacher, by the way. Amen. And the preacher preaches to him, and God moves. The Holy Ghost moves, and they got saved by the grace of God. Amen. But my point is this. I know people say, well, I pray every day, but are you on speaking terms with him? Are you a relative of his? If you're a father, you are not responsible to feed and clothe every child that's born into this world. Right. Unless it's your child. And that's right, isn't it? I mean, thank God for benevolence. Thank God for people that are interested in helping. But you're not responsible for every child in the room or every child in the world. You're responsible for yours. Amen. And this thing about prayer, when we come to God, thank God we have access and he is responsible to us in that sense, responsible over us because he's a good parent and he's our parent, thank God. Amen. And so we have an opportunity to pray relatively. I say it this way, prayer is a family matter. I believe that's right. It's a family matter. While God is good to all people, let it rain on the just and the unjust. Let the sun shine on the just and the unjust. Yet he has not obligated himself to work like a genie in the bottle for everybody that rubs the bottle. Amen. He's obligated to his children. Amen. He has obligated himself to his children. The tie that binds this man in verse 9 and 10 to the young man asking, the tie that binds them is the fact that they are related. That he is a son. That child is the son. And I believe that's the inference that relationship is important to us, that we know God as our Father. He's the Almighty God, and we're one of His sons. Praise God. Amen. He's the King on the throne, and we're one of His sons. Praise God. I talked this morning and really last Sunday as well about the dangers in this world we're living in. Being between a rock and a hard place, it's like threading a needle. It's like walking a tightrope. Dangers all around. I've heard men give illustrations about being nervous and different things, and they'll use illustrations. And I heard a man give this illustration about walking circumspectly. He said, walking circumspectly, that means looking all around. You're circum dealing with around and speck of the sea and being careful of the things that surround you. But the idea of a Christian walking circumspectly in this world, he said it's like a tomcat walking across a picket fence with a bulldog on each side. Amen. And the dangers that we're facing, this is my point, the dangers that we're facing, we got trouble here, we got trouble there, and it's so delicate the road we're walking. But on this delicate road that we're walking, we've got access to heaven and the God that owns it all and the God that's over it all and the God that controls it all is our Father, praise God. We have access to Him. We can pray relatively. He's our relative. Amen. He's the sovereign ruler of all the earth. Amen. Now, I believe that our world, the world may very well give you stones when you're looking for bread. The world may very well try to slip you serpents when you're looking for fish. By the way, that's exactly what the devil does. It's a bait and switch thing all along. Amen. That first temptation when the devil tempted Eve, he said, he laid it out as if you take of this fruit, it's gonna better you. It's gonna better you because then you'll know good and evil. I've said it before and I believe it's right. She already knew good because she knew God. But she didn't know evil. By the way, when people lose their innocence, it's because they learn evil that they didn't know before. They become acquainted with evil that they didn't know before. And by the way, that is not a betterment. It doesn't better you. The devil offered, he said, this will be bread, boy, but it winds up being a stone. Amen. He says, this will be fish. You'll enjoy this fish, and it winds up being a serpent. That's what the world will do, but our God doesn't do that way. He doesn't switch on us. He gives us what we need. Amen. Because He's our Father, praise God. Amen. Amen. He'll give us good and wholesome things in our time of need. Amen. Not only does this relationship give us access to the throne of grace, I believe it gives us the proper perspective of it. It gives us the proper perspective of God in prayer. For example, if we only look at God, as I said, He's the sovereign God of all the universe. If that's how we look at Him only. If we only look at God as the great judge that's going to judge on judgment day, then we might be hesitant to approach His throne. We might be a little nervous to come before Him knowing that we're needy people. But when we recognize that great sovereign and that great judge is our Father, we have the right perspective. I can trust Him with my troubles. Amen. I can tell Him my problems. Amen. I can approach the throne of grace even in my own sinfulness because it is a throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. Amen. We realize it is our loving Heavenly Father that sits on the throne. Amen. And then we see it is the throne of grace. And we're not afraid to approach unto it. But not only does this relationship and recognition of the relationship of the Father and the Son give us proper perspective of God, but it gives us proper perspective of ourselves too. We're a child. You know what a child is? A child is a dependent. The law allows you to count those in your house as dependents. We come to God, that's how we come to God. We got to recognize that's what I am. I'm not a general in God's army, I'm a dependent in His family is what I am. I'm not some kind of big shot in God's kingdom. No, I'm a dependent child of my Heavenly Father. That's what I am. We got to recognize ourselves as a dependent child needing constant assistance. We got to recognize ourselves as an ignorant child. And it's not a slam on you young people, but you don't know everything. If you think you do, it shows how little you know. Really. You don't know everything. And I'm not to say that your dad knows everything or that your mother knows everything, but they know more than you. Maybe in some areas they don't, but overall they've got more life experience. Therefore, they got more knowledge, more information. Amen. They don't remember where they put it. Perhaps. But they got it. Amen. We need to approach God that way. God, I don't know everything. I'm an ignorant child. I need instruction. I need some direction in this thing. Amen. We're a dependent child. We're an ignorant child. We got to recognize ourselves as sinful children. We mess up. On our best day, sometimes we mess up. And we have to approach God saying, Father, I'm in need again. I've made a mistake. I've messed up. Amen. I wrote it this way. Prayer works best when we assume the position of a child to his father. When we allow ourselves to weep as a child, to beg as a child, and to trust as a child. Amen. That's when prayer works at its best. Amen. Amen. We approach our God as the supreme God, but also as our loving, generous Father. Amen. Amen. I'm going to conclude with this statement. Charles Spurgeon had a great way with words. He just had such a way with words. This is one of the stories he told. I'm going to read you this story and I'm going to quit. He said, a king is sitting with his council deliberating on high affairs of state involving the destiny of nations when suddenly he hears the sorrowful cry of his little child who has fallen or has been frightened by a wasp. He rises from his throne and runs to his child's relief, assuages his sorrows and relieves his fears. Is there anything unkingly here? Is it not most natural? Does it not even elevate the monarch in your esteem? Why do we think it dishonorable for the King of Kings, our Heavenly Father, to consider the small matters of His own children? It is infinitely, infinitely condescending, but it is not too superlatively natural, being that He's a Father, that He should act as such. Amen. He said we can't understand it. It goes beyond our understanding. But when He coaches it in these words, we can grasp it a little better. It's like a father to his son. Our Lord talks about, the psalmist talks about, as a father pitieth, as the eye of a father pitieth his children. That's how God looks upon His children. Amen. I'm glad we have this access of prayer. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.